الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعن جميع الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue inshallah today on our study of what is called in the books of the scholars مناقب الصحابة, the attributes of the Sahaba. We have alhamdulillah studied the biographies of the Sahaba individually, and we try to learn from each life individually about what they had to go through and how they became who they were and how they benefited this ummah and how they helped in paving the road for us for all the generations of Muslims to come in this world. However, now we're talking about collectively what were the attributes of the Sahaba, how the collective atmosphere of the Sahaba was, what they believed in and how they dedicated their life, how they did it. And the first session that we spoke of that, we spoke of a da'wah, of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the Sahaba kiram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they dedicated their life to that goal. They dedicated their life, they had devotion to calling to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they sacrificed everything, including their life, for that one particular goal, that is to call to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we saw how some of them did that immediately, like after they become Muslims, like Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi radiallahu anhu, and the rest of the Sahaba, as we studied all their lives, how they dedicated their existence to calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to call to the word of Islam. We continue inshallah today on a little bit of a different theme, but it all really revolves around the faith that settles in the heart of the Sahaba and how they invested that faith, how they worked on that faith to reach the highest, loftiest place, and to fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Prophet, that they are the best of the generations. The best of the generation is the generation of the Sahaba, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِ هَذَا. The best of the generations, the best of the time, is this time, is the time of the Sahaba. And then the one after that, and then the one after that. So, we are talking about one verse in the Qur'an, that it's a very serious verse. It's a very dangerous verse, wallahi. And if we to understand that verse like the Sahaba understood it, then nobody can oppress us. Then this ummah can go back to become what it was before. And this one verse, when it was revealed, it's in Surah At-Tawbah, and it's verse 24. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, أَدَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if it be that your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your spouses, or your kindred tribes, clans, or families, the wealth that you have gained, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَارَهَا, and a commerce in which that you fear to decline, وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and a dwellings which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, are dearer to you than Allah. and his prophet and his messenger, or this striving in his cause, وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Then just wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about his decision. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah guides not the rebellious, the misguided people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the love of Allah and the love of his prophet and the striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be more beloved to the heart of the believer than their fathers, their sons, their brothers, their livelihood as far as their wealth, their commerce, and their dwellings, their houses, the places that they love to go back and rest at, their homes, their farms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if it is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and the striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dearer to the heart of Muslim than all of these things, then just wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with His decision. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba understood this. And it is very easy for us, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, to say, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dearer to me than that. Or His Prophet is dearer to me than that. But we really have to be very truthful and to be fearful of hypocrisy in our heart, no matter how slim that is. And that's how Umar said. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he heard this. And he said, this is in al-Bukhari, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Umar ibn Khattab came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ وَاللَّهُ who has my soul in his hand. لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. You Prophet of Allah is more dear to me, you are dearer to me or more beloved to me من كل شيء than anything else except for myself. إِلَّا مِن نَفْسِ. This is how truthful Umar ibn Khattab was. Not that he did not love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I dare to say that he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anybody that lived in this, lives now, because that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Umar ibn Khattab. But Umar was very truthful with himself. Umar ibn Khattab was very fearful of any hypocrisy, any nifaq. And he wants, when he says a word, he wants to make sure that that is the straight, right word. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I feel like you are more dear to me than anything I know. My children, my wealth, my family, my tribe. But myself, I still have that thing in my heart. I'm not sure that I love you more than I love myself. This is really serious. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ya Umar, no Umar. Your faith will not be complete. حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِن نَفْسِكَ. Until I become more beloved to you than your own self. SubhanAllah. This is the faith of Umar ibn al-Khattab that we are talking about. And the Prophet said, your faith cannot be completed until I become more beloved to you than your own self. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab reviewed his own self. And then he made an oath. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدَهِ. That who my soul is in his hand, لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِن نَفْسِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now you are dearer to me than my own soul, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet said, الْآنَ يَا عُمَرْ. Only now, Umar. Now your faith. Now your faith is complete, Umar. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we understand, if we can just get a grasp on that concept, how much Sahaba loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much dedication to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's easy for us to understand why they could do all the things that they did. How they tolerate all the things that are really intolerable by any measure. How they could come up with these sacrifices that are immeasurable in our standards. It is the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They applied what was in Surah At-Tawbah. They felt it, they believed in it, and they applied it. Even if they had to strive and struggle to reach that level, like Umar radiallahu anhu did. See, faith is a gift from Allah, but you work on it, you make it stronger. You work hard to elevate that faith. And here are our examples among the Sahaba. From the completeness of belief is to love Allah and to love the Prophet. And we love the Prophet today by following his Sunnah, by going with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do. This is our, how do we provide an evidence to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment? Oh Rasulullah, we loved you. We loved you more than we love our families. We loved you more than we love our belongings. Become our intercession, become our shafi' for us on the day of judgment. How do we say that? By following his sunnah. By applying to our life what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "In qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Said, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me and Allah will love you. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching his Prophet. If you follow the Prophet, then you will attain not only the fulfillment of the love of the Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will love you by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. So today, so inshallah, we will touch on some evidence, some stories, and there are many, many in the seerah, and many in the lives of the Sahaba to show their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we will speak of some that would show us the degree of the love that these people had to their Prophet, to their Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, radiallahu anhu, before his Islam, he came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the time of Hudaybiyah, as actually a delegation, as a representative of Quraysh, as he was actually not from Quraysh, he's from Thaqif, but he was one of the greatest noblemen of Arabia. And Quraysh sent him as a representative to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the time of Hudaybiyah. So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was an honorable man, but he was also a very rough man. And he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his beard, and he was talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's a gesture to get somebody's attention at that time. When you grab somebody's beard, you're trying to get their attention. It's like, look to me. Yeah, I want all your attention, undivided. And while he's trying to do that, while he's grabbing the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody slap him with the back of the sword on his hand. And he looks and he sees a man who was just filled with armaments and iron. He said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Ana al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah." Al-Mughira was his nephew. He said, "You hit me. You hit your uncle, and I'm your uncle who was just trying to..." He was just helped. I mean, it was immediately after Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi helped Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah get out of a major trouble when he actually, before his Islam, killed many people. And Urwa was helping him, trying to pay the ransom and the penalty for all of that. And he said, "Ay Khudar, you're a traitor. What are you trying to do to your uncle?" And he said, "Kuffa yadaka an Rasulillah." Put your hand down from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He put it down, he completed the negotiation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the point of this hadith, we went through that when we spoke of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, when we studied the seerah, alhamdulillah. But the point of that is what Urwa said to Quraysh when he went back. He went back to Quraysh, and he saw the Sahaba, he saw how they dealt with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book of Al-Fath. And he said, "Ay qawm, O people, wallahi laqad wafattu ala al-muluk. I have came to the courts of kings." And he was one of the noble people of Arabia. Al-Quran mentioned him when Quraysh said, "We want the Quran to be revealed on a noble man. Either choose Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira in Mecca or Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi in Thaqif. These are the two noble men in Arabia. Why would it come to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ هَذَا الْكِتَابُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ." A great man. So he came to them. He said, I'm accustomed to come to kings. This is not the first time I see a leader. He's trying to tell Quraysh, "Wallahi laqad wafattu ala al-muluk, wa wafattu ala Qaisar, wa Kisra wa al-Najashi." He said, "I visited Caesar, I visited Khosrows, and I visited al-Najashi, the king of Ethiopia, the king of Habasha. Wallahi," he said, he's swearing to Quraysh, "Wallahi ma ra'aytu malikan qat. I've never seen a king, yu'azzimuhu ashabu, who is glorified by his companion, by the people around him, mithla ma yu'azzimu ashabu Muhammadin Muhammada, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam glorified Muhammad or respected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, wallahi in yatanakhamu nukhama illa waqa'at fi kaffi rajulin minhum. He said, if he just had to spit something, something fell out of his mouth, somebody would grab it. Somebody would grab that comes out of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth. فَدَلَكَ بِهَا وَجْهًا. And they would wipe their faces with it. And their skin. This is how much they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِأَمْرٍ اِبْتَدَرُوا. When he tells them to do something, they run. They immediately compete of who's going to do it first. The orders of the Prophet, they're still there. Are we doing what the Sahaba are doing? Are we running? Are we competing to fulfill the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِأَمْرٍ اِبْتَدَرُوهُ مِنْ وَإِذَا تَوَضَّأَ كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى مَاءِ وُضُوءِهِ كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وُضُوءِهِ. And he said, when he makes wudu, when he makes ablution, they're almost killing each other to grab that water and bless themselves with it, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمُوا خَفَضُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَهُ. And when they speak, they lower their voices in his presence. The respect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يُحِبُّونَ النَّظَرَ إِلَيْهِ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. And they said they don't even look up sharply to him. They lower their voices and they lower their eyes in his presence. He said, أَيْ قَوْمْ أَطِيعُوا لَهُ. O people, obey him. Whatever he tells you, this is not an ordinary king. This is not somebody, a leader. And subhanAllah, Abu ibn Mas'ud himself later on became a Muslim and became a martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we studied the last session. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was loved by his companions. And if we are to mention some of the Sahaba and the example that they put forth for us in loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we start with the greatest of the Sahaba. We start with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immensely. His love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beyond anything else. Because his faith was beyond anything else. As the hadith said, if the faith of Abu Bakr was to be weighed against the faith of this entire ummah, the faith of Abu Bakr will be heavier than the faith of this whole ummah. And Abu Bakr loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself testified to that, his final days. He said, nobody is more generous in my heart than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He said, وَأَثَانِي بِمَالِهِ وَنَفْسِهِ. He gave me himself and his money. وَنَكَحَنِ ابْنَتَهِ. And he gave me his daughter in marriage, Aisha radiallahu anha. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the examples in the seerah is so much. But we start from the early days of his faith, of his believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The event that happened after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to announce his da'wah is the persecution and the injury started on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. And on the authority of Aisha said that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was calling for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being injured around the Kaaba. And Abu Bakr came to the rescue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told Quraysh, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. You want to kill a man just because he says my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Quraysh diverted their attention to Abu Bakr. And they started beating Abu Bakr up. Because he dared to speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the Kaaba and in the presence of Quraysh. And they started beating him. And they said Utbah ibn Rabi'ah brought a big shoe, a sandal, and it was a hard one. And he started beating Abu Bakr as-Siddiq on his face until the blood started gushing out of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and he was swollen. And they said, لا يعرف وجهه من قفاه. The blood covered him, so they couldn't tell which one is his face and which one is his back. He was just all covered and all swollen up. And then he fell down and they thought he was dead. They thought he was completely dead. And they carried him in a shroud to his home. to his house, to the house of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And even his tribe, the tribe of Abu Bakr, Bani Tain, came and they started threatening to kill Utbah in retaliation to the killing of Abu Bakr, because they said he cannot survive this beating. He was beaten to a degree that they thought he cannot survive that. How they started putting water on him, and they started giving him the first aid, and they started giving him the reviving him, until he started coming back gradually out of his unconsciousness. And what was the first question he asked? ما فعل رسول الله؟ ما فعل رسول الله؟ ما فعل؟ Where is what happened to the Prophet? He was beaten up, he lost consciousness, and the Prophet was in danger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First thing he wants to do is to make sure that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alright. And they said, even the people of Tain, when they heard him, they started cursing. So what do you want of Muhammad? Don't you see what Muhammad done to you? This is what happened to you if you follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get beaten. Yes, you do it until today. If you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will get hurt. You will get hurt. You will get tested. You'll get tribulation. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say something, we have to prove it. We say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to prove that. That we do that. That we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love His Prophet. Everyone has been tested. And the whole ummah is to be tested. Subhanallah. And our tests are different. Our tests are different. But that's what Banu Taym was telling their son Abu Bakr. They said, leave him alone. Don't you see what he has done to you? He said, ما فعل رسول الله. Just tell me where is رسول الله. Tell me what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they asked his mother, Umm al-Khayr, radiallahu anha, and she was not a Muslim then. And they said, why don't you just feed him something, let him drink something, let him recover a little bit of his beating. And then she brought him water, and he said, I will not drink it until I know what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will not touch the food until I know what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, wallahi, I don't know what happened to your friend. Wallahi, ma li ilmun bi sahibik. I don't know what happened to your friend. How? And he said, find someone who knows. And she found Umm Jamil bint al-Khattab. And she asked her to come to tell Abu Bakr something about his beloved, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she came to him, Umm Jamil, and she said, he asked her, ماذا فعل Rasulullah? What happened to Rasulullah? And she said, your mother is here. Your mother is listening. And he said, that's fine. You can tell me. Because they did not trust the mushrik. They didn't want to tell the mushrik what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, and she said, no, he is fine. Salimun Salih. He is fine and he's doing well. And he said, where is he? And they said, in the house of Ibn al-Arqam. In the house of Abu al-Arqam. And then he said, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَذُوقَ طَعَامًا أَوْ شَرَابًا حَتَّى آتِيَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I will not touch any food or water until I see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I want to make sure that he's fine. So they said, خَرَجْنَا بِهِ يَتَّكِئ. They carried him and he is being held by them in that situation until they carried him to the house of Bani al-Arqam. And then they brought him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They said, فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَقَبَّلَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hugged him and kissed him. And he felt bad for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. وَرَقَّ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ رِقَّةً شَدِيدًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was almost brought to tears by that scene, that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq coming in with that shape that he was in. And then Abu Bakr said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Don't worry about it. I ransomed my father and my mother for you, Rasulullah. They said it and they meant it. بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Said, don't worry about that. He said, لَيْسَ بِبَأْسٌ إِلَّا مَا نَالَ الْفَاسِقُ مِنْ وَجْهِ. He's trying to belittle what he did. He said, nothing happened to me except these things that you see in my face. It's nothing to worry about. And then he looked at his mother who brought him to the Prophet and he said, هَذِهِ أُمِّي بَرَّةٌ بِوَلَدِهَا. This is my mother. She's a good mother to me. فَادْعُ لَهَا أَن تُسْلِمْ. Why don't you pray to her so she would become a Muslim? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed to his mother and she became a Muslim. It was the story of this, of the Islam of his mother, radiallahu anha wa an, Abu Bakr. And they said, they he took about a month for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to recover from these events, to recover from these injuries that he suffered on that day. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the companion that made the hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed itself in that journey. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed that sometimes Abu Bakr would walk in front of him, and then sometimes Abu Bakr would go back and he would walk behind him, and he would just go back and forth. He couldn't settle in one position. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you walking sometimes in front of me and sometimes behind me?" And then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, أذكر الطلب فأمشي خلفك." I remember those who are chasing us, so I walk behind you. وأذكر الرصد فأمشي بين يديك. And then I remember the one that can be ambushing us, so I walk in front of you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said, يا أبا بكر لو كان شيء أحببت أن تكون لك دوني. If something would happen, you would want to receive it before I do. If something, and some harm would happen, are you putting yourself in harm's way before me? And the Prophet, and Abu Bakr said, نعم والذي بعثك بالحق. أي والله, this is wallahi who brought you with the truth. ما كان لتكون من ملمة إلا أحببت أن تكون لي دونك. There's nothing that could happen to you except that I wished it would happen to me, and it would not happen to you. Anything, any harm would touch me before it will touch you. And he was truthful. And when they reached the cave of Thawr, he said, مَكَانَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Stay where you are, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And he went to the cave to explore, to make sure that there are no snakes, no scorpions in there. And he would put his hand and his legs in every little hole in that cave to make sure there is nothing that would harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was asked one time during his khilafah, he asked people, he said, من أشجع الناس? Who is the most courageous of people? Who is most courageous of the Sahaba? And the Sahaba and the people around them, they looked and they said, أنت يا أمير المؤمنين, you, أمير المؤمنين, you are the most courageous. You are the most courageous. They knew it. It was a fact among them. He said, لا والله, it is Abu Bakr. It is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He said, on the day of Badr, we put a arish. Arish is either a tent or a small shack, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the first battle, the first true battle, where they saw the mushrikeen coming to surround them, and people were fearful, naturally. And he said, then we asked who would volunteer to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that place. That would be the last line of defense before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, wallahi ma taqaddama ahad. Wallahi, nobody came forward except Abu Bakr. Put his sword between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the advancing army. He said, ذَلِكَ أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ. He is the most courageous of people. And that courage came from the love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Abu Bakr was not the strongest of the Sahaba. When we have studied his life, he was a thin man. He was not very well built like the rest of them. But he would put his life anytime without hesitation forward for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for this religion. Another story that is well known in the history of the seerah, just to illustrate the love that the Sahaba had to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is what happened to Zayd ibn Duthanna in the famous catastrophe that hit the Muslims called Bi'r al-Raji'. Bi'r al-Raji', the story of Bi'r al-Raji', and I just recited shortly, we studied that alhamdulillah in a seerah, is people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Banu Lihyan, from the clan of Banu Lihyan, and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send them teachers to take with them to their tribe so they can learn Islam. And then in their own intention, they had betrayal, they had deception, they had treachery for these people. And what they did is they took two people, they took Khabib and Zayd and many other, Asim ibn Thabit and many other with them to teach Banu Luhyan the teachings of Islam. However, what they did in the middle of the road, they start killing them, and they took two of them as prisoners to sell back to Quraysh, so Quraysh can kill. It was a total treachery, total betrayal. But the story that we'll bring in that, it's not to show the treachery of Banu Luhyan, it's to show the love that the Sahaba had to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this prisoner that we will talk about is Zayd ibn Duthanna. Zayd was taken to Mecca, and he was sold to Safwan ibn Umayyah. Now this is after Uhud and after Badr, the catastrophe that happened to the Muslim. And Safwan ibn Umayyah had just lost his father in the battle of Badr, and he wanted to take revenge from the Muslims for killing Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So he bought Zayd, radiallahu anhu, and he wanted to kill Zayd for the Prophet, for the blood of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So they took him outside the sanctuary to kill him. They took him outside the sanctuary to kill him, and they tied him up, and they were getting ready to kill him. And Abu Sufyan came to Zayd, and he said, "Unshiduka Allah ya Zayd. I call upon you by Allah, Zayd. أتحب أن محمدا عندنا مكانك تضرب عنقه وأنت في أهلك." He said, "Don't you like that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in your place to be killed, and you would be safe with your family? Wouldn't that be better for you? Wouldn't it be better for you if you would be among your family safe, and the man that started all this trouble is here to be killed?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Zayd said, "Wallahi, ما أحب أن محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه تصيبه شوكة تؤذي وأنا جالس في أهلي." He said, "What are you trying to compare?" He said, "Wallahi, I would not love for the Prophet where he is now, safe among his companion, to be stung by a thorn, and I would be safe among my family." He said, "It is more beloved to me to be killed than the Prophet be stung with a thorn." This is how much they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are people that meant these things. These are not stories of fiction. This is true story about how much dedication the Sahaba had to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we study that dedication, then it becomes easier to understand how they endured what they endured. Why they had that much of tolerance. How could they provide the sacrifices that they had to provide for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for this religion, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Umar ibn al-Khattab, none of the Sahaba had it easy. None of them. They were all tested. They were all had to suffer for this religion. And this religion did not come easy for us. It came on the sacrifices of the Sahaba. Even the strongest of them, Umar ibn al-Khattab. When Umar ibn al-Khattab first announced his Islam, he wanted to make sure that Quraysh will all know about his Islam. And he said, "Ayyu Quraishin anqalu lil hadith?" Which one of Quraysh is the one that cannot keep any secrets? And they said, "Jamil ibn Mu'ammar." And he went to Jamil ibn Ammar al-Jumhi, and he said, "Ya Jamil, alam ta'alam, didn't you know Jamil?" He said, "No, I don't know what happened." He said, "Aslamt, I became a Muslim." And he said, "Wallahi," Abdullah ibn Umar narrates the story, he said, "Wallahi, ma nazara ila," he didn't even look at him. He immediately went, and he started calling upon people. Saba'a Umar, Umar rebelled, Umar became a Muslim. And then Quraysh and Umar came to around the Kaaba, and Quraysh was there, and they were angry with him. And they started attacking Umar. They started coming to Umar and they started beating on him. And he would grab Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and he would put his fingers in his eyes. And he said, "If you don't leave me alone, I will get his eyes out." So they would leave him. And then they would come against him. And they would start beating him. And the narrator of that story said, they started from almost sunrise to almost sundown. and they were from sunrise to sunset beating on Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he's beating back against them. Until Al-As ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi. Al-As ibn Wa'il is the father of Amr ibn al-As. And he came and he stopped. He said, "What are you doing? Do you think Bani Adi will leave you alone? Bani Adi would know for their strength." And they said, "Well, you're trying to kill Umar ibn al-Khattab, then the entire clan of Bani Adi will come against you." And they stopped. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Al-Hakam ibn Abi al-As, his uncle. Al-Hakam ibn Abi al-As, he tied him up and they started torturing him. None of the Sahaba had it easy. None of the Sahaba were in their comfort zone when they were sacrificing for this Islam. Al-Bukhari narrates that Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he was dragged between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, tied up in shackles by his own mother, As-Sa'bah bint al-Hadrami. This is in Al-Bukhari. As-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, they used to tie him and they would smoke him. They would smoke, put the smoke in him so he couldn't breathe. He would feel the suffocation. Bilal ibn Rabah, he would be taken, as we know, to the desert. And they would put him on the hot rocks, black rocks of Mecca, until his skin boils. And they would put stones above him. And he would say, "Ahadun ahad. Ahadun ahad." It is one. Allah is one. No matter what you do. It's really as simple as that. He didn't know any other way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying these two words. Ahadun ahad. Ammar ibn Yasir and his family, the family of Ammar, they were taken out and they were tortured by Abu Jahl and Sumayyah. Bint al-Khibab, the first martyr in Islam, was killed by Abu Jahl himself. And then Yasir, father of Ammar, was tortured to death. And Ammar ibn Yasir was also tortured until he could not take it anymore. And they made him say bad words about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he went to the Prophet in tears. And he said, "This is what I've done." And he said, "ما تجد في قلبك?" What do you think in your heart? And he said, "There is iman in there, faith. I didn't change my heart." And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "In adu fa'ud." If they turn back to you, because he was a weak man, he just could not do anything but to take that torture. Then save yourself. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, they would put the jamarat, the burning coal, and they would put him on top of it with his back. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he showed him the scars of the torture that Khabbab had to go through. And Khabbab had nobody to protect him in Quraysh. He had no protection in Quraysh. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the famous hadith. He said, "لَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَيُنْشَطُ بِأَمْشَاطِ الْحَدِيدِ مَا بَيْنَ مَا دُونَ عِظَامِهِ مِنْ لَحْمٍ أَوْ عَصَبٍ مَا يَصْرِفُهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ." He said, "Those who came before you, they will take the combs of iron and they will comb their flesh out of their bones. And that will not turn him away from their religion and their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then he said, "وَلَا يَتِمَّنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ." Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete this message. This message will be complete. This will be the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It will be shown above all religion. It is the religion of truth. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "وَلَا يَتِمَّنَّ هَذَا الْأَمَرْ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ الرَّاكِبِ مِنْ صَنْعَاءِ إِلَى حَضْرَ مَوْتِ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ." Until the traveler will go from Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, to Hadra Maut on the Arabian Sea, and fear nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abu Dharr al-Ghifari came to Mecca and he announced his Islam, he immediately went to the Kaaba and he started saying, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah," until he was beaten, almost died. And then he was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What did you do?" He said, "Ahbabtu an usmi'ahum iyyaha." I just loved that they would hear it. I just loved that they hear La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Look what they have done to you." And Abu Dharr said, Abu Dharr, he was just 24-hour Muslim. That was it. He made his Islam and he got beaten immediately. And he said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, uhibbu an a'uda ilayhim. I want to go back to them. I want to learn them to hear it again. And he said, Hasbu, enough. Just enough. Go back to your people. This is how much excitement they had in their heart, how much love, how much enthusiasm they had for this religion. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they loved His Prophet more than they loved themselves. Because nobody can do what they have done if they really prefer themselves over this religion, over the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing that the Sahaba had to endure and suffer is the embargo, the sanctions, if you will, in today's language, that Quraysh had upon them. And they had to suffer the hunger, the lack of food. And in the Sahih of Muslim, on the authority of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ نَبِيَّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا يَجُدُ مِنَ الدَّقْلِ مَا يَمْلَأُ بَطْنَهُ. I found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he could not find enough of bad dates, the rotten dates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not find it. That's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, that he during the embargo had to cook, had to boil a piece of leather that he found when he was going to the bathroom to eat that. Because there was nothing else to eat. And they are the best of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them paradise. But they still had to endure what is to be endured in the face and in the sake of this da'wah. On the authority, and in the Sahih of Bukhari and Muslim, as Shaykhan, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Wallahi, كُنَّا نَنْظُرُ إِلَى الْهِلَالِ ثُمَّ الْهِلَالِ ثُمَّ الْهِلَالِ. We would see the moon, the next moon and the next moon. ثَلَاثَةُ أَهِلَّةٍ فِي شَهْرَيْنِ. 2 months, 3 moons. وَمَا أُوْقِدَ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَارِ. And the cooking fire would not be turned on in the house of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And that is the Prophet, that is the best of creation, that is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she said, what did you eat? What, how could you survive? She said, al-aswadan, al-tamru wal-ma. All we eat, all we had for all that time is water and date. That's all they had to survive on. And that was the example for the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about that in the Sahih, in the Bazaar, and it is a good narration, it's not jayyid, on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He looked at his companions and he saw the hunger, he saw the famine, he saw the weakness in their faces, and he said, "Abshiru, don't worry, have the glad tiding. Sayati alaykum, you will have time after me. Zamanun ba'di, yughda ala ahadikum bil qas'ati min al-thareed wa yurahu alayhi bimithliha." He said, "In the morning you will have a bowl of meat, and at night you will have another bowl of meat. Don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is just a transition." Transitional period. He said, you will have a time. And the Sahaba saw that when they conquered Persia and they conquered Byzantium. And they had so much wealth that they didn't know what to do with. And the Prophet ﷺ was telling them in those days, you will have days that will happen to you. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, نَحْنُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ خَيْرٍ. We will be good. We will be better then. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, no. بَلْ أَنْتُمُ الْيَوْمَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ. You are better today than what you will be when you are rich. He said, don't think that this is bad for you. He said, أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ خَيْرٌ. أَنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ الْيَوْمِ. Today you are better when you are enduring for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and suffering that hunger in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are better than what you will be when the fortunes come to you. And we saw when the fortunes come, what happened to this ummah. The division started, and the fitna started, the tribulation started, people started being concerned about dunya. And the tribulation hit this ummah, subhanAllah. On the battle of Tabuk, they had to endure the thirst. And on the authority of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when we were walking to Tabuk, we would feel the dryness in our throats, and we will feel like our throats will fall off our heads. That ظَنَنُّ أَنَّ رِقَابَنَا سَتَنْقَطَعَ. They had so much thirst and pain in their throats that they felt like their necks will break out of dryness. And he said, كَانَ أَحَدُنَا لَيَذْهَبُ فَيَلْتَمِسُ الرَّحِلْ فَلَا يَرْجِعْ حَتَّى يَظَنَّ أَنَّ رَقَبَتَهُ سَتَنْقَطَعَ. He said, not even one of us would walk a few steps and they feel like their neck will fall off out of thirst. Any small exertion will make them feel so exhausted. And that's what they had to endure in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on, the rest of the Sahaba continued this message. They had the training from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the great Sahaba. It is narrated on the day of Al-Yarmouk, three of the Sahaba kiram, Ikrima ibn Abi Jahl, Al-Harith ibn Hisham, وَعِيَاشُ بْنُ أَبِي رَبِيعَ. Three wounded people, they were brought to the small infirmary and the bar that were placed in the Yarmouk. And all the three of them were wounded and they were bleeding. And a bleeding person immediately feels a lot of thirst. It's a reaction by a hormone that is excreted in the body. They feel a lot of thirst when you're bleeding. And all three of them were coming wounded and they are bleeding. And then Al-Harith ibn Hisham asked for water. And they brought the water to him. And he looked. And he saw Ikrimah looking at the water. Because he was also bleeding and thirsty. And they said, give it to Ikrimah. And they took the water to Ikrimah. And Ayyash was looking at the water. And Ikrimah said, take it to Ayyash. And they took the water to Ayyash. And Ayyash said, Ayyash was dead. And they took the water back to Ikrimah, and Ikrimah was dead. And they took the water back to Al-Harith, and Al-Harith was dead. And none of them drank that water. But they all preferred each other, and they endured for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can we learn from these Sahaba? What can we learn from the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We need to read that verse, and wallahi, think about it. Contemplate, just heed the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers or your spouses, or your kindred tribes or families, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear decline, the dwelling in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger, or the striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His cause, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about His decision, and Allah guides not the rebellious. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us these lessons and to put the love of His Prophet in our hearts, to put the love of this religion in our hearts, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His Prophet, and the struggle and the striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved to us than our own families, more beloved to us than our own selves, more beloved to us than our brothers, our spouses, or our clans, more beloved to us than the money, the wealth that we have, more beloved to us than the dwellings that we reside in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us continue to learn from these people, from the attributes of these Sahaba, so we can understand how they are, how they were what they were, and why we are where we are. And that is really the important lesson that we take from them. قُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. We open the floor, inshallah, for any comments or discussion about this. We have maybe about 6-7 minutes that we can do. Yes, Jazakallah Najmu. Yes, it is true. And in that narration, actually, can give you the question. To repeat the question is it true that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for Abu Jahl or Umar that either one of them would become a Muslim? It is actually true, and they said that it is narrated. I'm trying to get the reference here. This is from Hayat al-Sahaba. I'm trying to get the reference where it's in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya for Ibn Kathir. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed on Wednesday that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorify Islam with one of the two, either Amr ibn Hisham, who is Abu Jahl, or Umar ibn al-Khattab. And on Thursday, Umar ibn al-Khattab became a Muslim. It's that immediately the next day. And if that answers your question, that is that's the reference there. Yes. It's every 3 years. 3 years when this actions. Right. The question is, when was these times when the Sahaba had to suffer and endure the hunger? There are actually two periods that the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a famine situation. One of them was in Mecca, and the other one was in Medina. They had two periods of time where they suffered a lot of hunger, a lot of problems trying to have any food provided. If you remember the embargo or the sanctions that happened to him in the Sha'b of Abu Talib, and that's what you mentioned, and that lasted about 3 years, really was a long stretched out period of time. But the second time, remember, there was the year of hardship, or Sanat al-Usra. It was a year of famine, it was a year of terrible hunger that the entire Medina had suffered with, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered the Sahaba during that year to go out to Tabuk. It's called Ghazwat al-Usra, and that was also another time where the Sahaba had to suffer a lot, and we know many people of the Munafiqeen, and three of the believers stayed behind, and they did not go out in this battle. There was hardship. There was a lot of hardship. And there was not enough food in Medina.
That time
right. And also in some references, early in their hijrah also, they had some problem because they did not establish any businesses yet. And they were too proud to be dependent on the Ansar. And there is one hadith, and maybe some of the brothers can correct me, that Abu Bakr, Umar and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were hungry, and they had stones on their stomach to prevent their hunger, and they went to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and Abu Ayyub gave them food, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the na'im, this is the bounty that you will be asked about on the day of judgment. But they were so hungry that they had to put stones on their stomachs, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that food that you're eating, you will be asked about on the day of judgment, and that this is the bounty and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, what do we do? And they said, make praise to Allah after you eat. Make praise to Allah that gave you this bounty, and that will become a kafara for you. Yes. Dakhal al-Jannah. Yeah, the hadith that the brother said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, it's about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, about his attributes. He said, who is fasting today? And Abu Bakr said, I'm fasting today. And the Prophet asked his companion, who followed the funeral procession today? And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, I have followed the funeral today. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who gave in charity today? And Abu Bakr again, for the third time, said, I've given in charity today. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these three things don't happen to one man unless he's in paradise, unless he's one of the people in paradise. And this is one of the attributes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Yes, Najwa. Yeah, I can't comment on that, really. I don't know. The question is, the station of a Siddiq is higher than the station of the Shaheed. And is this... because of Abu Bakr no doubt had advantage over the rest of the Sahaba, but many of the prophets themselves are described in the Quran as Siddiq, and Maryam alayhi salam is described as Siddiqa. So the Siddiq obviously has got a high station, but I just can't comment on. نبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Yes, this is the rank, you know, نبيين and then صديقين and then شهداء and then صالحين. Jazakallah. But I don't know if Sheikh Masoud has any comment on that. Jazakallah. Alaykum As-Salaam. Lived. He was one of the torture. No, Sumayya bint al-Khibaf. Is that what she is? That's her. Sumayya. That's her. Yes. No, that's her father's name. I said Sumayya bint al-Khibaf. That's the daughter of al-Khibaf. But Sumayya is her name. Yeah, she is. Jazakallah khair. For the clarification, the mother of Ammar bin Yasir was the first martyr. Jazakumullah khair. So if there is no more comments or questions, inshallah we will break for Azan al-Isha and the Sunnah prayer. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.